Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi there, welcome to another Rahalastapa. This week we're with Charlie Brooker. It's a weird time at the moment. I hope you're all getting through it okay. We've had to cancel lots of gigs, so it makes it slightly tough for us to get through this however long it's going to be. You can support us in lots of ways. You can become a monthly badger, gofasterstride.com/badges. You can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/RKHerring. You can subscribe to that Twitch channel, either paying some money or using your Amazon Prime free subscription to send us some money. There will be some stuff up there, if not yet, pretty soon. We'll start broadcasting some things. You could just listen to the podcasts with the ads in them. If you could listen to more of those than usual, go back over the back catalogue or even just tell your friends to do that. That will provide us with some revenue, which we will need to get us through this difficult time. Now we've lost lots of your ticket money and so much more. So we'll be fine. I'll be fine. There's lots of people to look out for, and do try and support your tribe and your community in whatever ways you can as we try to get through to the other side of this living nightmare. Hopefully, if you're at home, the podcast will provide you some fun and laughs to help you through. If there's any little things you can do in terms of going to Go Faster Stripe, and you can buy all 3 emergency questions books for £20, or you can buy a pack of Trumps, all that money gets fed back into the podcast. If you buy some DVDs or downloads, that money goes to me. I think I'll be okay, to be honest, but
we do have to look out for everyone. And yeah, it's a weird time. So I hope you enjoy this podcast. It's a lot of fun with great to get Charlie back on. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Rahal Estapa with Charlton Brooker.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who wishes he was still at school. It's Richard Herring. Hello. Forgot my book again. Second week in a row. Terrible. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leotard and Slip Trying On podcast. After the success of last week's slipper, Lady Slipper Trying On podcast, thought I'd try on just leotard, the women, the unwashed leotards and slips. Of men or women, so it's fine. Or women or men, maybe. Should have been the way that round went. And then it's difficult to think of those. It's harder than you think. I was talking to Chorten and the Wheelies the other day. Just literally turning into Peter Kay. It's all that's happening. There's not even any artifice or not even a satire of that. It's just it. It's just it. And Fenella the Kettle Witch calls it Rahal Estapa. So is that terrible thing? Wearing a Me Too t-shirt, my guest. My guest said, oh, is that a Me Too t-shirt? That's a bit weird. it's a snooker base that you wouldn't understand. It hasn't had the kind of success with podcasts I've had since the last time he was on. All that's happened to me this week, you'd think of the week since the last week's show, well, there'd be loads of things that have happened. But this morning, I did a really long wee. That's my news. Like, really long. Honestly, I'd drunk a couple of soft drinks. Not as much as I thought, though. And I went to the wee, and I was having a wee, and it was going on. I thought, this is going on a long time. And it was constant. It was a constant, thick stream of urine. There was no drips. It was just... I mean, it wasn't going to go over anything. It's those days are past. But it was going into the toilet. And it got... And it was literally another minute and a half from when I thought this was a long wee. It was still going strong. Never seen anything like it. If anyone can diagnose what that is, let me know. It sounds quite bad. That's good, right? That's a 52-year-old man to be able to wee like that. I was going to ring Norris McWhirter up, get him to come and verify. You have to get him at the beginning so he can time it from the start and when he's alive as well. That's the other thing. So those two things. That's what makes it difficult. So that's all that's happened to me this week, but it's been all right, hasn't it? So look, let's crack on. We've got an amazing guest, returning guest. 7.5 years since he was last on the Fro Show. Fucking hell. And since I last saw him, although he did see the back of my head when we both went to see a live action show of Bing. Which he may talk about. I didn't see him, but he was watching the back of my head all the time. Like a creepy man. We were both there with our kids, so it was fine. He is probably best known as the pundit in the Games Republic with Trevor and Simon. Who remembers that? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Charlie Brooker, ladies and gentlemen. It's wet from the toilet. That's okay, I like it. I like it.
It was a good back of your head.
It was.
That show.
I was watching the football match for some of that performance.
Were you?
Yeah, because it was on in the afternoon at the exact time of, I think, England versus San Marino. It was the one we won 5-0, that England won 5-0 in whatever the recent cup was. I'm not that into football, but it was...
What, you were watching it on your phone?
I put my phone on the seat next to me and watched about 5 minutes. My wife said, that is incredibly rude. I said, they're all in costumes they can't see.
Did you have to buy your kids one of those spinny things that they were selling?
I didn't.
Did you notice that?
I didn't see those. What were they?
You didn't see those?
All the kids
were holding these spinny... I don't know what the fuck it was. It was like a spinny thing with LEDs on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And was modern.
No, my kids... Like it was only my daughter then, I think, and she was young enough not to understand that you get to be bought things.
Plus, you clearly don't care.
I don't care.
You were watching. You were near the front.
I know.
I was near the back. I was like, what the fuck?
It was on the seat next to me. It was fine.
Okay.
It was a good show. I think Pando should have been executed at the end. That's the only change I'd make.
I don't know how many people have seen Bing.
All of them. They're big fans of Bing.
What's the matter with you? Are you all paedophiles? Like,
yes, they are.
I love. Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Read the room.
They come. If I get them in here, they're safe. It's the world outside safe. That's why I do so many podcasts.
Well, I like the fact that Bing has a miserable time.
Yeah.
All the time. Well, like every episode, he's like pisses himself or he shits himself or like he meets a neo-Nazi. I don't think that's happened. Have you seen the one where he kills a butterfly?
Yeah, he's an evil little prick.
He's not evil.
I still prefer him to Pando. Pando, I don't like. Bing has. There's something about Bing that's likable.
No, I don't like the fact that in Bing, it took me a long time to work out that the adults were little in Bing and the children are big.
You know, is that what's going on? It's not clear what's going on. The stuffed toys, basically, that look a bit like the animal that they're looking after are the guardians of the children. Yeah. So there are theories that all the adults are dead or that all the kids are dead and that they're just living in some kind of, hinterland between.
I don't know. I assume it's a bit meant to be a bit like Peanuts. You know, the Peanuts cartoons where you never saw the adults and they just went... Oh, 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 oh.
Yeah.
I'm not... Sorry, I don't have good mic technique.
It's good.
Yeah. They talk like... I assume it's meant to be like that, but I find
we can see them, though, and then they talk to them. It's nothing like that.
Yeah, it's weird.
But they're little cloth toys. It's very strange, but enjoyable.
And as I was telling you backstage...
Yeah.
I'm slightly distracted constantly by the fact that Bing's dad,
Flop,
is voiced by Mark Rylance, who was once in a film where you saw his penis as he had unsimulated sex on camera.
Just sex.
If it's on camera, it's unsimulated sex.
It's still sex, isn't it? I mean, it's just sex. I mean, sometimes I've had simulated sex off camera.
Could you simulate? No, don't do it. How do you have simulated sex? I suppose you do if you're...
Yeah.
Why did I bring that up?
I don't know. So early on? Well, it adds a new dimension to Bing if you're imagining Flop. I mean, it's badly named.
Bad things happen to Bing.
Yeah.
All the time. That, the memory of that must be scarring for Bing. Let's move on. Since I haven't... The room is full of paedophiles.
What's the longest wee you've ever done? Mine was about three... I'd say at least 3 minutes of constant weeing today.
Is that possible?
Well, I would have said... Before this morning, I'd have said no.
Are you sure that... I would assume if you're weeing for 3 minutes...
Yeah.
I reckon it probably takes 2 minutes to empty your bladder.
Yeah.
After that, it's probably brain fluid.
It could be semen. I might just have been really enjoying having... No, actually, there's not much of that comes out.
I don't think semen can come down that pipe.
No, not at the
is
same
it
time.
Like there's a thing that's like a railway...
There's a little divide. Though some people dispute this. I did a book called Talking Cock and a show called Talking Cock, which is about this. And in order to keep urine away from sperm, because urine would kill sperm, if you spunked
is
up anyone,
true?
Wee up them and you'll be fine. that's my advice. I don't think it is. That's what you have to do. Don't know why I'm looking at you. You've never had sex. But anyway, if you ever just want to kill the sperm you've just wanked onto the floor, just wee. Sometimes when I get someone back, we have quite a more in-depth kind of... One seems more childish than last time.
You could build a sort of a circus of death for sperm, couldn't you? You could build a thing that you masturbate into and then you just kill those sperm by pissing on them. Like
you could really test which was the best sperm by having a kind of an assault course they had to get of urine that they had to get round... And the ones that got to the end of that without getting wee on them, you could say, right, that's the boy.
You get an egg.
Yeah, let's put him in the test tube with an egg.
Is it possible to lower the tone? Okay.
This is very much how it started. Do you remember being the pundit in Games Republic?
I do remember being the public. Weirdly.
Yeah.
So I did a thing the other week where I was talking to some people on a retro video gaming podcast.
Okay.
Which is, and they brought up Games Republic with Trevor and Simon. So it's very present in my life at the moment. No, when it must have been, I remember that it was they were all filmed in one day. And it was the day that there was a solar eclipse, which was like a weird harbinger of doom. It was a show that was a bit like Games Master, starring Trevor and Simon. And they asked me on because I knew about computer games. And I had to dress as a monk. And I had to commentate on Games Master. And I don't know how old everyone... Actually, quite old.
Yeah, they're old.
So you remember Games Master? Yeah, okay. Fucking that old. So people would commentate on... Like, kids would play Street Fighter or something like that. It was a bit like that. My job was to commentate as kids played... video games, most of which I hadn't seen, so I didn't actually know what I was talking about.
Okay.
And they filmed about 32 episodes in one day. And my main memory is two things. One, that there was a solar eclipse about lunchtime and everyone was allowed to go outside and watch that. And the other was that when they filmed the first episode, I think it was Trevor... rather than Simon, came out and went, "Welcome to... there!" Like he read something incorrectly off the auto cue and said, "Let's do it again." And they said, "No," in the gallery. And he had to continue. So I assume it went out. Because it was so... They had so many episodes to film so quickly. Did I just spill water talking?
We bought these chairs. It's expensive. 1999, would that be? Was that the 99 solar eclipse? Was it August 99?
It may have been. I don't log solar eclipses. What the fuck do you think I am, a wizard?
I think I was in Edinburgh. That's why I think I remember it. Good. That's all I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
That's all that's happened the last 7.5 years. So... it has been quite an exciting 7.5 years for you since you were last on this podcast.
If you say so.
Yeah. Well, things have moved on. It's interesting to see people like them. It's the part, because I didn't see you at Bing, so it's the last time I saw you in the flesh, I think, was in this podcast.
Yeah.
And when someone's become very successful and gone on to something that's a worldwide smash, I'm kind of interested to see if they've changed. Or, you know, the episode of The Young Ones.
Improved.
Where they get improved. You know the episode of The Young Ones where they get rich? And Rick Mayall his hair's really up.
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm watching The Young Ones at the moment with my children. I'm making them watch The Young Ones, and we haven't quite got to that one yet. I made them watch Bambi.
Yes, that's the best
one. Which is season two, episode one.
Yeah.
They watched that the other day, and the 5-year-old, I thought, should he watch Vivian's head being knocked off? And I decided, well, it's happened now. So we haven't quite... Rich the one where Vivian does a big fart?
I can't remember.
Is that where he thinks he's pregnant? Is that...
Might be. Yeah, I think it is.
Right.
I just really like when Rick Mayall became rich, that is the way they signified that was his hair was just really... He was sort of his hair really up in the air. So I was hoping you would come and your hair would be really up in the air and you
would
have changed.
What's my hair doing? I think
it's about the same as... I think it's slightly higher in the air than it was last time you were here.
I need a slight cut.
Do you? Yeah.
I go and get it cut at a place now where they do your ears.
Okay.
Where they stick a flaming bit of cotton wool in your ears. Have you had that done?
No.
Oh, you should do that.
I like to pull out. I can still pull out my ear hair.
No, you go to a place now and they say, "Do you?" It was one of those. It was sort of one of those slightly cunty looking grooming rooms.
Yeah.
Which is sounds a bit Jeffrey Epstein, but it was but for hair. It's a Ted's grooming room.
Yeah, okay, I've seen that one.
That actually sounds sinister now that I say it out loud. And I got my hair cut. I have to say, it was very good.
Was it?
It was a very good haircut.
Yeah.
But at the end, the man said, "Like, do you want me to..." I didn't hear what he said. And I went, yes, because of course I was embarrassed and didn't want to say, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And he put a bit of cotton wool on a wire and he dipped it in something and he set fire to it. And then he went, on my ears.
Wow.
Set fire to all the hairs in my ears.
That can't be good for you.
You'd think that, but then weirdly, once you've had a haircut where that's happened, if they don't do that, it's... Yeah. What's the point of that?
Yeah. So you, things have changed for you. That's
so
that,
now, that was, actually,
now
yes.
You get your ear hair.
Now, actually, I think you're fine.
Ear hair burnt off.
I have my ears burnt off on a regular basis.
It's good. Well, I'm glad to see you've changed. It's been an enormous success, Black Mirror, which you started the last time you were on, but...
Well, I think... So, hang on. So, I remember... So, last time I was on, it was about 7.5 years
ago. Yeah, 2012.
I remember at the time, so my eldest kid was a little baby. I mean, it was right. In the middle of a heat wave. I remember that as well. I was terrified because it was the middle of a heat wave and I thought that...
You remember everything by what the sun was doing.
No, I remember it by degrees of paranoia. I remember thinking it's so hot... That he might die.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
You're like, because that's you spend a lot of time sort of worrying, especially with the firstborn, you spend a lot of time worrying. So I remember feeling slightly guilty the whole time I was here, thinking, what if he cooks? Because it's so hot, what if it's so abnormally hot, he just cooks?
Yeah.
He didn't cook.
It didn't seem to affect your performance too badly, that constant fear.
But we'd done some Black Mirror already, I think.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
we had.
Yeah.
Of course, it was 2012.
2012, so you'd done some, but it was still on Channel 4 then.
It was still on Channel 4.
And so, like, they'd switched to Netflix, which obviously... I mean, we don't need to get into the whole mechanics of it. It was sort of slightly...
Well, they cancelled us.
Yeah.
Channel 4 cancelled us.
It was crazy, that.
Yeah.
You'd just done the one with John Hamm and everything, and when they cancelled you...
Really cancel us. They said... It was weird. We had a meeting where they said... It was the morning that we were showing the Christmas one that we did to the press, and they said, okay, by the way, we don't think we've really got the money to continue. Go and get some money from the Americans, and you can continue doing this. But I'll tell you what we are doing. We are doing this anthology show based on Philip K. Dick stories. So if you play your cards right, maybe you could write one of those. And I'm not good in meetings, generally. Yeah. Annabelle, who's the co-showrunner, I always have to check with her what's gone on. And I came out of the meeting going, I'm angry. Is that is that right? And she was like... they basically effectively sort of cancelled us. So we were quite aggrieved later on when we went to Netflix that there was some assumption that we just chased up, that they'd waved some banknotes at us and we'd gone, let's go and do this for the Americans. But really it was because Channel 4, who, to be fair, also commissioned it in the first place and let's do it all.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But
Netflix,
all of that.
Well, no, it was interesting. Netflix seems like obviously the production values went up quite... I mean, you're making like movies... they're making 6 movies a year sometimes with these things. They're like motion, they're of that length, some of them, aren't they? They're 90
minutes. Yeah, some of them are 90 minutes long. I have to be slightly careful sometimes that, because I'm aware that there's a thing called streaming bloat. Have you heard of that?
No.
Streaming bloat is when you're writing a show for a streaming network. And so when you're writing for like Channel 4, something like that, this has got to be 43 minutes long. To be an hour, and so you'll put in... I would literally write in end of part one, end of part two, and it was quite good psychologically when you're writing to think, oh, I only have to get up to the end of part one and then I can go and play on the PlayStation or whatever. On a streaming service, you don't have the restriction of a schedule, so you can get in the edit for any sort of hour-long drama you're doing on a commercial channel, on a broadcast channel, there's always a bit where everyone says, you can't possibly cut this bit out. It would be like losing a limb, but actually it usually improves, whereas you don't have necessarily that pressure. So so that's a long-winded way of saying, some of them are... I tried to make some shorter as well.
But it doesn't really matter how long they're to come up with that many ideas. You know, when... You did three in this last series. Mm-hmm. There was the special, but the previous series of that, there was five or six, wasn't there?
There was six. We did two seasons of six. Yeah. Then we did...
It seems like an awful... And it's mainly you writing.
So it's quite... It's quite a lot.
Yeah,
it's not
hard.
A proper job. It's not like a milk round. but, I mean, who the fuck would do that? You've got to be a psychopath. Actually, do people still do milk
rounds? I've got a milkman.
Yeah, but now it's middle class, isn't it?
Maybe.
I don't mean doing it in middle class. I mean having the milkman come to your house.
Well, I am middle class, and I have milk.
Is it organic milk?
Yes.
Is it fucking like almond milk?
It's just milk.
This is a trial now.
It's a cow's milk.
It's a cow's milk, but it's organic.
It's organic. My wife wants it.
Sorry, that was really uncalled for. Oh, no, now I'm spilling the drink. So, sorry, why did I call you a cunt?
It's fine, I liked it.
For drinking organic milk from cows that haven't suffered. Beyond the milking.
Yeah.
Which I hope is rough.
Yeah.
How did I get into that? No, so we did two seasons of six. Then we did an interactive one.
Yes.
And then we did three because... Originally, the interactive one was part of that. It was just one episode in a season.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean. And so but quite quickly it became apparent that it was really long and that we couldn't do six episodes and that, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
It also had, so that's why we did three again. Okay. Some people said we were lazy for doing three. I'm like, for fuck's sake, have you seen how much stuff there is to watch?
Yeah.
You should fucking thank us for only doing three. There's so much stuff to watch. No one's got time to watch it all.
But because it's not part of a series. You know, they're all different. They're all standalone. So it is much more difficult than writing. Once you've got something up and running, you've got the characters, it's a little bit easier to knock out a few of them. But you've got to come up. There's strong ideas each time.
Yeah. Well, It is. It's difficult, and it's liberating in that because you don't have to worry about an ongoing. So you don't have the thing of thinking, oh shit, we introduced this whole thing with a fucking driving instructor or whatever. In like episode one, I don't want to do that, but I have to write that out. So in that respect, it's liberating, and you can change the tone. But you're right. It's obviously in terms of difficult jobs, it's up there clearly with firefighting.
Yeah.
I mean, in many ways, I like to think we are the ultimate heroes.
Yeah.
The unspoken, modest heroes.
The thing with the fire is it's real, right? And it's there, and you know what you have to do to put it out, so that's pretty easy.
Pretty fucking brain dead. Oh, yeah. Spray water at it.
Whereas
what
you do is imaginary, and that's harder. You've got to imagine the thing.
If they had to imagine
the fires as well.
You can't imagine a fire to death, can you? No. Fucking, they've got it easy.
You'd have to, imagine it happening and then imagine it going out.
About an imaginary fire.
Yeah, it would have to be an imaginary fire and then they'd have to imagine a way for it to disappear. That's hard work.
I was talking about a real fire.
Well, if it was a real fire, try and imagine that out of existence, that's not going to work. So what I'm saying is you're better than all firemen.
No, I said that first. Yeah. You're just agreeing. You're backing me up.
And
fuck those fucking cowards. Oh, is this one of those? This is one of those podcasts where occasionally it makes headlines, doesn't it? So if it's like that, I said all firefighters are cowards compared to me. Is that the sort of thing that?
That is the sort of thing that I will just.
That a cunt would take out of context and run as a thing.
Well, I'm going to be that cunt. I'm going to take it out of context and just run that as the podcast, just over and over again. You don't go, me going, Charlie, calm down. Sure, no. Stop saying that over and over. What? Are you crazy? The firemen do a great job and the whip firefighters.
Firemen, those fucking stupid cosplayers. They're stupid hats.
So then let's we talk specifically, but we'll talk about some other stuff, but let me talk specifically about a few episodes. Striking Vipers was the game, the one where the guys started playing a video game.
Yep.
I'm very interested in ways that I'm allowed to cheat on my wife that aren't cheating. So this was very... I was very interested in this episode.
Okay.
Because is it cheating to have sex with your best friend if your character's in a video game while you're doing it?
Well, that's the
that is sort of
crux
the, that's
of the
crux
whole,
of the show.
We did have a long debate
when
we were working out what goes on in that episode as to whether they would actually ejaculate physically in the room. And what we settled on was to dodge the issue.
Okay.
Yes, I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty intense for those guys.
They were actually having sexual intercourse with each other.
Yeah. In a machine, though. It's just like wanking into a tube, isn't it? It's
no.
They're using their imagination.
It's like wanking into a tube where your friend is the tube.
Oh, so that's cheating now, is it?
Also, you could boil all sex down to wanking into a tube if you want to be base.
And I do. It's an interesting idea. That was a very interesting idea. So I like that.
So basically, no, I'm sorry,
yeah,
but you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. Even if it's...
Why like, are you, sorry, why those are you guys, wanting to know... Well,
those guys weren't gay, and they weren't gay, but they were having sex, heterosexual sex within the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I was, you know...
Say, for instance...
if I was to say, bum Stuart Lee through the internet, my wife couldn't be upset about that, could she? I mean, I'd be appalled and... I'd be the worse off from that.
How has it come about?
I mean, he would be bumming me, let's face it. I know my place.
Have you ever played a computer game together?
No, he wasn't ever... Maybe we did. He was like quite a bought.
Did he critique the computer game at length?
When I lived in his house for a little while, I bought it must have been a PlayStation or something, and I bought a Spider. He liked Spider-Man, so I bought a Spider-Man game for him to play, and he never played it because he likes the comics of Spider-Man.
You bought it to impress him.
I gave it as a little sort of. I thought he might enjoy playing that because I was staying at his house for free. I thought, you know, let him play.
And he never even played it.
No. I wasn't interested.
Jesus Christ.
He was never interested. I mean, I wasn't that interested in video games. It's interesting. I was listening to Adam Buxton's podcast with you, which I wish I hadn't, because I wanted to talk about all the same things as he did. But
we talked about shitting a lot.
Yeah.
I've got lots more to say.
Good,
about
that's
that.
Good. But although I guess guys of our generation all have the same experience.
Old men.
Well, but we are almost like, it's almost identical, all the stuff of the video games, the obsession with nuclear war. You know, playing your first... Everyone remembering playing their first either TV-connected little video game ping of Pong and playing Space...
Ping or Pong.
Or Bing Bong. Space... I remember playing Space Invaders at the Cliff Hotel, yep. You know, my friend Phil Fry...
I've never been to the Cliff Hotel.
You know, you should go down there. It's good. Okay. In Cheddar. So all those things are the same. But I sort of... It got too complicated for me. I nearly failed my O-levels because I was playing Football Manager, Kevin Toms' Football Manager.
Kevin Toms?
Yeah.
I've emailed him. It's a deep cut. That's what the young folks say, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a deep cut.
Do they?
Rather than it's obscure, sad reference. That's a deep cut.
I've been in touch with Kevin Toms since...
Have you?
More recently, yeah, because I've mentioned him a couple of times. So he's emailed me. And he sent me a simulator of Football Manager. It's not as good as I remember it being.
Right.
But Football Manager games became too complicated for me, and so did video games. I'm into pinball, which you're into. Well, you've got a pinball machine. What pinball machine have you got?
Shall I lord it over you here?
Yeah.
I've got two.
They're
broken at the moment. I've got the Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
pinball
one.
Machine. And the Simpsons Pinball Party.
Okay.
But they're both... broken.
Adam's
of my children.
Adam's Family is the best one.
Yeah, that's meant to be a very... No, I think you'll find the Twilight Zone is the best
one. I prefer Adam's Family. Like, the Twilight Zone's okay.
Yeah, but thematically it's
I mean,
better.
It's good for you.
Yeah, but the Adam's Family is based on a film where everyone's dead. And like,
doesn't. I've never seen the film with the pinball machine. I genuinely think the Adam's Family pinball is the greatest achievement of mankind. I genuinely believe that the synthesis of all those things
that.
Coming together, it's the perfect game. It's a pinball machine is an amazing thing, and that's the perfect
pinball machine. Is a brilliant thing to sort of. It's extremely extravagant thing.
Yeah,
like to exist, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's pointless.
Mm. Yeah. Good.
Anyway, that's the pinball related.
People don't like pinball so much anymore. All right, let's talk about other more Black Mirror. Well, let's talk about Bandersnatch. I wonder, with Bandersnatch, this is the role-playing, the one where, not role-playing, the one where you could choose your own adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through every single possible, plausible way to find out everything that could happen, I think. Was it... It must have been quite complex to write it. And did you have lots of stuff that you had in that show that didn't make it into that final?
Yes and yes. So originally, the way it was written was... So we started out and we were trying to come up with a storyline on a flow chart, which we were drawing on a whiteboard. And then I was like, oh, we need a bigger flow chart. There must be some software that does a flow chart that you can do on a computer and you can zoom out. We looked into that and then it's like, oh, no, hang on a minute. I want it to be able to remember things you've done. And so I had to learn this programming language called Twine, which is relatively straightforward in terms of, it's like HTML or something like that. So I used to do HTML in the 90s. Mm. So it was sort of relatively straightforward in terms of that sort of thing. But it did mean that I had to write... when you're writing a script, it's helpful to write the outline of the story first. And so I wrote the story outline first in Twine, and it would crash when I tried to run it. That was the first sign that I shouldn't have bothered. Because it crashed, and then I started writing the script in that, and it got more and more complicated. And what was weird is usually when you're writing a script, you all know this, you're writing a script and it's sort of like... sometimes you hit a point where you get into it and it gets longer and longer. Mm. And this got sort of longer horizontally right. as well as vertically. And that was a bit strange. And I was sending emails to Annabelle, who's the co-showrunner, going, yeah, it's got sort of fatter. And I don't think she understood what the fuck I was on about. And originally, the one thing that frustrates me about... Weirdly, a lot of my original coding... that I did, ended up in the final thing, because Netflix are so fucking clever. They invented this whole bit of software that we could sort of literally kind of import my code and the script into, that we could then drop video clips into. So some of the stuff that plays on the service is actually based on little logic fucking gates, effectively, that I was setting up. But originally it had a puzzle that was much more central to the whole thing. It was structured like an escape room. So the idea was you'd get stuck until you solved a central puzzle. But we did some testing and it turned out people didn't understand the central puzzle at all. So we had to sort of lop it out.
Okay.
And so that slightly meant that people wandered around a bit looking for the exit.
Yeah.
Near the end. But then that's, I'm like anyone, you only ever see the fucking flaws and problems and things that you did.
Well, it was an ambitious...
It worked like quite magically into like technically as well. Like I was very pleased with how it all functioned as well on the platform, because it's basically it's a film and a game that's running on something that isn't a console, basically, and so it all worked quite magically. That was actually quite moving to the geek in me when I saw it working for the first time. I was like, oh. Because I assumed it would have a big gap, like sort of FMV games of the 90s.
Yeah.
That's a very old man thing to say. Isn't it?
We're old men. We're allowed to say old men things.
Yeah, right.
We're 7.5 years older than we were 7.5 years ago.
What's the thing you do that you realise is very old manish?
I mean, like, forget everything that's happened. I can watch programmes like if 6 months later, I can watch the same program again. Mm-hmm. I can't remember anything that happened. That might be having young kids, though.
Yeah, no, there's that.
Yeah, so it's hard to know whether I've got Alzheimer's disease or just children.
Interchangeable. Which is preferable?
Well, at least there would be, you know, a medical diagnosis would at least...
You'd get more sympathy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, so it was a weird thing to... work on. And I was also pleased that we, for something that was like this big sort of, because and Netflix said to us, oh, you've got to be, they wanted it to be very experimental and us to try lots of things that they hadn't done before with their, and I was pleased that you'd think really that if Netflix were doing this big interactive movie for grown-ups, that it would be a bit like a Bond movie or something like that. Instead, the centrepiece of our thing was really somebody going into a W.H. Smith and buying a computer game in 1984 while Kajagoogoo is playing on the in-store stereo. So I was quite pleased that we managed to make things that mundane.
And they set up like the shop in various places around the country. I saw one in London Bridge or somewhere like that. There was one.
They did.
The
they set one up. That was actually like going onto the set of the fake W.H. Smith was probably one of the best experiences I've had on set. Actually.
Was it?
It was sort of a perverse level of like that's like being God, isn't it? Like I wish W.H. Smith still existed, like it did in 1984. I don't care about the story. Just make that happen.
It would be an interesting thing if that was the first thing that sprung to mind. I can do anything. I'll make I'll make W.H. Smith's go
Dare
back
to
how he used to be. And that's all I can think of. It was good, though. It was good.
Yeah, it's all. I was pleased with it.
Okay.
I never know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Well, it's weird because you obviously were a TV critic and you were a sort of fan of comedy before you did comedy, or you were someone who watched comedy and was critical of it, chaffed at the telly sort of thing, is what you hear about you.
I was probably more jealous of comedy than critical of it.
Right.
I was probably more critical of other things that I would watch, and I think I probably tended to be a bit more guarded when I was... If I was writing TV columns about comedy, I probably tended to be a bit more cowed by the fact that it was like people doing things I probably wished I could do.
Yeah. But, you know, what being a fan's like as well. So I think with the fans of Black Mirror, they're hard to please, right? So I think that, you know, there'll be ones where the fans are less happy with that.
I don't know, but it's weird because I think it's weird because each episode is different. It is the case that you get people who are specific fans of specific ones, and so it's sort of like we're slightly inoculated against that. Whenever people say, oh, you've done it, like we got some stick in that we did one recently that we did an episode that had Miley Cyrus in it, and some people were like, well, this is like a Disney movie version. I'm like, well, you fucking shut up. And the point is we're always trying to do something that's a little bit different to the last episode. So you're wrong, not us.
Well, people aren't going to like everything, but but when you get fans like that of it happens with comedy, it happens with sci-fi, and this is sort of bridging those two worlds a little bit. I know it's not really a a full-on comedy show, but there's certainly comedy elements in it. But comedy fans and sci-fi fans are very protective of, you know, and I've experienced that when, you know, those old comedy forums that kind of sprung up in the late 90s, that, you know, they if they like you, then one day, and then they turn against you. And I've experienced that from the other side, because that I would have been the same with when the Young Ones tried to do something, when Rick Mayall did The New Statesman, I was...
You were like, what the fuck is this?
How dare you? How dare you work with those guys and do a traditional sitcom?
I know exactly what... Weirdly, because it's that Rick Mayall's been on my mind, because I've been watching the Young Ones with my kids. And he's so fucking brilliant, isn't he? In the Young Ones in particular, it was like... I find it quite weird how many... Not just the words, but the sound of the words that I remember... The whole "hands up, who likes me" was the one we saw the other day, and it's that's a bit weird because I hadn't seen it for probably at least a decade.
Yeah,
when I realised how many things they say in that I still say today, which is my sort of go-to for being funny around the house. I've just stolen from a show.
Yeah,
when I was young.
Well, I think, for our generation, it was such a massive. That was our Monty Python, you know. Yeah. It was sort of punk, and it was comedy in it.
Do your kids watch YouTube a lot?
My daughter started to watch. There's a kids' YouTube, yeah. So she started.
Does she watch that little fucking cunt unwrapping presents?
She hasn't found that yet.
There's a little. That's not the name of the channel. There's a kid called Ryan, right? If you Google him, he's like one of the richest people on earth. Like, I'm not even joking. He unwraps presents on YouTube. He's 7, 8 years old. His parents started this channel, and now he's got his own range of toys that he unwraps and sells. And we went on holiday... And our 5-year-old suddenly said, from the back of this car we'd hired, "Can we go to Target?" And I was like, "What? Can we go to Target? I was like, "How do you know what Target is?" Ryan's toys are on sale in Target.
Wow.
"Can I get some of Ryan's toys from Target? Can I get some of..." And I was like, "No." And he immediately was like... they watched Ryan unwrapping toys. So that was why I started showing them things like The Young Ones, like a desperate old man. Like, you don't have to watch somebody unwrapping fucking toys. And the other day, so as I understand, I think legally this is all right to say, Ryan, I read...
You've called him a cunt. I think you can say anything.
Okay, to be fair, Ryan isn't a cunt.
Okay.
It's society. it's the system surrounding Ryan as a cunt. So, because Ryan is 7.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. But there is a dead look in his eyes as he's pitching his own products with his own face on, which he wasn't when he was a... He was pretty much fucking pitching things as he was being born.
Yeah.
Basically, as far as... There's one video early on where he's got a temperature... And his parents are running around going, "Oh, Ryan's too ill to do a podcast, like a fucking video today. How ill is he?" And they managed to spin a good 10 minutes out of him having a fever. I saw a thing saying that said Ryan's toy review is being is under investigation by some American standards, whatever it is. Like, basically, that he's been promoting things and not declaring the payment.
Okay.
It's obvious. You watch it for 10 seconds, it's like, "Hey, today we're at fucking Disneyland, and wow, they've given me this huge hotel room for no reason." And so I walked into our 5-year-old was there, and I said with delight, I said, "Ryan, I see Ryan's in trouble with the police." And he was... The problem was he was immediately, upset and shocked. Like, what? Why? And I said, well, because, and then I had to sort of like back down a bit and go, oh, it's to do with the sort of, it's like a commercial thing. And he went, well, is he going to go to prison? They went, no, they, don't worry. They don't put children in prison. They don't put children. Whereas I should have said,
you can still open presents in prison, though. That would still work. The people who created Baby Shark are worth $90 million.
Are they?
Yeah, the, you know, the Baby Shark.
Baby Shark. Well, to be fair, it's fucking catchy.
Yeah.
Why are you so bitter about it?
I'm not bitter. I'm just amazed.
Are they worth $90 billion? Did you say billion?
Million. 90 million.
But who are they?
I think it's like a I think it's another American family. Like, I think they have cartoons all around that. The first time my daughter, which was just when she couldn't really speak, she started singing that, but she was singing Christmas Shark because it was a Christmas version of it, and we couldn't understand what the hell she was talking about.
You got it wrong. Do it properly.
She was really angry. Christmas Shark. We go, what, Christmas sack? Christmas sock? Christmas Shark? We'd never heard it. That's how I was introduced
to
it.
They talk such fucking shit, don't they?
Yeah.
Little children. Like, I've got two boys, yeah. 5 and 7. The 7 year old is much more into sort of video games, actually, than he'll watch, he'll watch Dan TDM, who I approve of.
Okay.
And he'll watch FGTV. Have you seen this? It's a family game. I approve of them.
Okay.
But I had to do a whole good, because I did a thing of walking in like a grumpy old man going, what's this rubbish? You're all watching these idiots. These people are idiots. You should be watching old things on television, like me. You should be watching old people's things. Why can't you watch a programme, an old programme with things that I understand? And I remember sort of saying, these people are idiots and scum and they're horrible. And then they looked so, well, not scum. Well, I probably did call them scum. And they looked kind of wounded, and I thought, oh, actually, maybe I should... Actually, I've just walked here. I'm Darth Vader. I'm a cunt. So I've sort of... I sat down and actually thought, oh, I see why you're... I see what you're getting at. This, actually, these people are quite... this is not like me. It's like, these people are quite engaging and creative, and you're just playing a computer game and chatting, and actually it's quite nice.
Yeah.
And you're fun and wholesome, and I approve. And so I did turn round to my kids and say I was wrong.
Wow.
Mm.
What did they say?
They didn't say anything. Okay. They probably said, shut up, I'm trying to watch this fucking FGTV filling up. I don't like the ones where you get a YouTuber who like fills a fucking swimming pool full of balls or something. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
I'm just a terrible parent.
Well, they haven't really. We've been quite good at restricting them. We just like... don't put the internet on the iPad so they can't really get into anything.
I haven't done any of that. The internet's on every device in our house. Like, it really is. And, like, I act like I'm helpless to stop them.
If you let them, you know, they'll be watching something if they're on the internet, and then suddenly you go, what the hell is this thing you're watching? And
why are you watching this alt-right guy explaining, like...
It goes into, you know, they go into like really weird foreign programs that you can't, you know, they can't.
When well, they're hang little on, bit... all right, Mr. Racist. Sounds to me like this would broaden their minds. Not this weird, like this foreign muck. They're watching these foreign swarthy men. What's the matter with you?
British shows for British kids. That's what I'm saying. When you could,
the terrible thing is, you could market a very racist, nationalist kid show for kids in this day and age, couldn't you?
Yeah, it'd be great. Let's do it.
It is actually, I mean, yeah, maybe you could. Tommy Robinson's Bing.
Tommy Robinson's, that sounds like a little kid's character, doesn't he? Little Tommy Robinson running through the dell.
It does. He definitely sounds friendlier than he is. He's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, he is terrifying. I have the same reaction when I assume, because, like, so I just assume he would put my wife and kids in a death camp. So, I like, which I also believe of Morrissey.
Yes.
So... if I go running occasionally now, and I've got like old like playlists I've set up, and if the Smiths come on, I'm immediately thinking, oh, so you'd put my family in a death camp. Which goes actually with the family in a death camp. I know why not. It's fucking serious. Sorry, I don't know how I got onto that. We did a Black Mirror where it hinged on that at the end it plays a Smiths track. And
right.
Afterwards, I was reading about how alt-right Morrissey has gone, and I was like, oh, he's probably got lots of money, and then out of the clearance we had to pay him.
Yes, it's true.
Oh, well.
But that's the thing that you worry as you get old, that happens to people that you know and that you're nearly the same age as.
I don't know many people who've gone like Morrissey.
Not as bad as Morrissey, but increase. People just start, it just starts edging that way towards. So all these people say, oh, Brexit, it'll be fine in 5 years' time because all the people who voted for Brexit will be dead. But no, because all the people who were 5 years younger and hadn't gone mental and right-wing yet will have gone mental and right-wing and now be Brexit. That's not. It's not how it works. It's not like people get older and they get more right-wing and weird and start. You know, it's sort of unbelievable. You'd think Morrissey would just keep his mouth shut because of who his fans are.
I don't think people got as right-wing as they are now. I don't. I think people would be politely racist.
Yeah,
wouldn't they? In ye olde days, people would sort of say, "Well, I mean, they like older people would have been politely racist in private, probably." Yeah. Whereas now they're trying to monetize it as a brand.
Yeah,
and just being a cunt. It's all right, isn't it, to be a cunt?
Yeah, well, it's a viable career, but.
But
and
how
one
that
I intend to move into. I know it's. I don't know it, but you know it's because.
Is it me, right, or have the cunts been rolling a six for about 5 years? Cunts have been rolling a six.
I had Frank Cottrell Boyce on in Liverpool, who's the guy who co-wrote the opening ceremony to the Olympics, mm-hmm. which obviously, and I had a theory with him that they all the cunts saw that and thought, right, we're not having this. And so I'm blaming Frank Cottrell Boyce for the way things have gone because he's just made it too nice.
Or it's the Hadron Collider
yeah.
that they switched on.
Yeah.
And some cunt rays came out. But cunts have been rolling a six.
Yeah.
So I keep thinking, well, the cunts will stop rolling a six. They can't, I mean, they can't, which is the gambler's fallacy, isn't it? But also, eventually, the problem is that every time the cunts roll a six, they get a bit, eventually, they can steal your dice.
Yeah.
That's the grim end to that.
Well,
analogy.
It may be, if we're in a multiverse, we just happen to be in the universe where they are, where it's just all falling their way this last 6 years.
That sounds like a comforting thought to have, as we're fucking led to the gulag.
So... But in most...
This is just... In another universe, I'm fine. It's all right.
In an infinity.
Ed Miliband is like in fucking infinity. Prime Minister.
Just this one. Mm. Well, it's like a series of things happened that were all about 50-50 and it all went slightly the wrong. Every little decision...
The cunts keep rolling your six.
Yeah, it just went...
It's that simple.
Yeah.
We've got loaded dice.
It'll probably turn out... It's good for you, isn't it, when it goes wrong?
No. No, it isn't. It isn't. And I remember being... So we both grew up, as we've established, we're both traumatised by growing up in the 80s.
Yeah.
When you'd sort of think, oh, it's going to be a nuclear... Oh, I've seen Threads, there's going to be a nuclear war. And then you'd watch something like Spitting Image and think, oh, it's all right, there's adults who think this is all crazy. And so that's a bit comforting. But I remember when we did a 2016 end-of-year show... And I nearly didn't do it because I thought this is too depressing to do. And also I was in the position of thinking, oh, I'm in the position now of being the person who's doing the thing, the funny satirical thing on TV that reassures people, and I'm fucking shitting my pants. So, oh dear. It's a bit like that moment when you realise that teachers are busking it and all adults are making it up as they go along. It's like a profoundly disturbing moment.
Yeah.
When you realise there's no help or God or reason. So, let's keep it light.
Well, we will do, but I would just say on the nuclear war issue...
What? No. Did you not see the news today?
Oh, is it all... Is
Gorbachev,
it all
who's still alive...
Yeah, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
...says, oh, it's really fun. This might be a nuclear war.
Yeah, well, I think there will be. I mean, there definitely will be.
Oh, well, that's nostalgic.
Yeah, well... If you just think about it, there's been so many times when it's nearly happened by accident. There's the one where the Russian guy just went, oh, there's nuclear bombs coming.
This, what I'm doing now is not going to sound good.
No, it's all right. That's it.
I'm unscrewing a bottle with my teeth.
That's having virtual reality sex with... He's sucking off Chris Morrison in another room. When you think about it, like that, yeah. There's going to be an accident, like when the Russian guy was... There was some... There was something where they thought the missiles were coming from America, and the guy said, yeah, I'm not going to do it. Because why? Also, if it's happening, if you're that guy, you shouldn't do it, because they're there as a deterrent. If someone attacks you, there's no point in attacking them back. It's already happened. So it'll give the humanity...
I don't think we're the best nuclear strategists.
But all it's, you know, 5 years ago, I thought, like, all it takes is one... No, it's going to happen in 100 years. Either there's going to be an accident, yeah. Or somebody mad is going to take over a country with nuclear weapons.
Well, that's which, happened.
Yes, exactly. So... You know, that's we've seen it happen within 5 years. It's definitely going to happen by the
but
end of the century.
But it's weird how quickly you get sort of used to that, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a frog sitting in a boiling pan of water sort of a way. Like, I remember I had a real, I think, probably around Christmas 2016, I had a proper sort of, like, that was when, so Trump, it was just before he took office, wasn't it? He'd been elected, but he was the president-elect. And he started yammering on blithely about nuclear missiles. Yeah. And I had a proper, like, this is it sort of moment. And now I kind of have a false sense of calm about it, because that was 2 years ago and he hasn't actually destroyed the world yet. So I think, oh, that'll never happen.
I think when we try to get
him out
at the end of the next 2 years.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, well, clearly, I mean, what the fuck is he going to do in 2020? Actually, why are we talking about something so bleak?
Okay, let's talk about something else. When you were born, your umbilical cord was wrapped around your neck. Let's talk about that.
That is true. Yeah, I had so I've got a phobia about vomiting.
Yeah.
And my little theory, not being an expert in anything, is that that's because I was being choked when I was being born. It was like, and I'm sure that's why I don't like the thought of spewing.
Yeah, or being strangled. It seems to take quite an affront to the idea of dying.
Your body, which is effectively a bit of intestine,
yeah,
isn't it?
Weird, isn't it?
Umbilical cord. Did you cut the umbilical cord?
I did the first time. The second time the second one was really fast and there was no staff and I nearly delivered the baby myself.
Fucking hell.
I was in the hospital, but they were overworked.
Right.
It was a full moon, and all the hospitals in London were full of people giving birth, and they said that's a thing on a full moon. People give birth more often, and they kept on not examining my wife, because if they did, they'd have had to find a room. You know, if she was dilated enough, they'd have to do something about it.
What? So if they walked in and went.
So if they didn't look, it was okay. And then finally, she was going. She was very insistent on getting drugs and everything, which we'd had the first time. And I was going, yeah, no, I'll make sure you get that. But, you know, they know what they're doing. They won't let you have this. And finally she went, can't find them, and I couldn't find anyone. And I was running around the hospital looking for someone. And finally I found someone. They came up, and they came back, and she was sort of crowning in the waiting area.
Okay.
It was the middle of the night, and then they had to take her down to try and find somewhere to deliver the baby. We had to go in a lift, but they weren't allowed to go in the lift until they found another midwife in case she gave birth in the lift and the lift broke. So we were waiting. She was wheeled into basically a cupboard and gave birth so fast without drugs. And I was just thinking, fuck, fuck, she's going to kill me. She's going to kill me. And it came out. He came out so fast. It was terrifying. She was amazing. And I just couldn't.
So you didn't bother?
They said, do you want to cut the cord? And I went, no, I don't want to go near my wife, because she will kill. If she grabs hold of those scissors, she'll stab them into my face for what I've let her go through. She was so insistent on not feeling the pain.
I'm so glad I've never had to give birth. It looks awful.
It's terrifying. My daughter, I was just hallucinating watching it. Her head came out, when I first looked, it was that big, and then it was that big, and then it was that big. And I don't think a head change size. I just
they do. Their heads do.
No, but not like that. It was like Matt. It was like, I was going, fuck, it's like bigger than a sort of medicine ball. And then, oh no, it's tiny. It was big and white, and then it was tiny and black, and then it was normal size. I was really hallucinating. I think I was hallucinating, or my daughter's some kind of superhero.
Well, no, don't their heads change?
They do. Just
they
come out.
Squeeze through.
Yeah,
like,
they don't get
the
bigger. They don't come out like a basketball.
No, but they sort of can squeeze their faces.
Yeah.
With their rest of their head. Why are we talking about this? Both of ours were cesarean.
Oh, were they? Yeah.
So it was like a magic trick where they put up a sheet, and then. And the first time I remember being worried that, having never really cared about children or babies or even been, because they were unknowable, they were like cows. That, you know, they sort of just like, people would go, look at my baby, and you think, you know, I just sort of didn't get them on some level. And I was worried that I might be a bit like that. And then they did the thing where they put the sheet up. But they'd pumped my wife so full of drugs that when they brought the sheet down and they said, here's the baby, I was the one going... and she went, I need a bowl, I'm going to be sick. And she was just like... she was like vomiting as I was holding this baby, like I was in The Lion King. And this was an amazing moment, wasn't
it? If it was a real magic trick, they'd bring up something else other than a baby. That way, the second time they'd brought up...
What, just kidding? Can we borrow your watch? It's fixed. How did we get on
the match? I don't know. Because you were born with an umbilical cord around your neck.
Yes, I was born with the umbilical cord around my neck. That's a... Again, what the fuck are you? What's...
It's an interesting start. There's, like... When you're born, there's someone who was born up a tree. There was like a big flood, and then you're born up a tree. You know, that's quite. It's an unusual start to the.
Sorry, no one's ever been born up a tree.
There was a big flood in Africa somewhere, and there's a, you know, a woman gave birth in a tree as the floods were underneath the.
What?
Well, what do you get? You don't stop giving birth because there's a big flood, do you? So there's a flood. She managed to get into a tree, and then she gave birth to a child in a tree.
Who?
Some woman.
Where?
Somewhere where there was a flood.
Sorry, what's this got to do with me? It's not my fault.
Interesting. It's an interesting start to your life, isn't it? I was born in a tree. I was born nearly strangled myself to death as I was born.
Okay.
That's a very Charlie Brooker thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but
I tried to escape this life. I know what's coming.
I tried to.
I was
born
this.
In Reading.
Yeah.
That sort of takes the edge off it, doesn't it? It's Reading.
You knew the life you're going to lead. That's a Black Mirror. Everything's a Black Mirror episode, right? Everything.
Well, no, they say that.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's been good that, in terms of as the world has got weirder and the news has got weirder, people started going, oh, it's all a bit Black Mirror, about all sorts of things. Not just like if Toshiba would announce a fucking robot chair that licks your bum clean.
Like, tell me more about this.
Well, Toshiba have. Do you think, you know those Japanese toilets?
Yes.
Have you?
I've Jeff Lloyd talked about them, but I haven't used one myself.
You've not used one.
No.
So a Japanese toilet, which is a bit like a robot.
Yeah.
You're sort of shitting into a robot's mouth.
Yeah.
If a toilet swallowed. Made a swallowing noise, how would you feel about that? If you had a swallowing toilet.
Be all right with it. Went,
and then it went, yeah, it went, and then it would say, in this day and age, it would be like linked to a Fitbit,
yeah.
And it would go, you've carbohydrates. You need to. You've been eating a bit too much butter.
Yeah. If it was made to give you a swallow, and that would be disconcerting.
If there was a toilet that, no, you know what? If there was a toilet that the more nutritious your food was, the more healthy your meals were. If you did a shit, it went. Oh. Ah. Oh. Nom, nom, nom. That would gamify the shitting experience. And...
yeah, people like it.
It's a marketing opportunity.
It's a good idea.
It is a good idea.
It is.
When people take photos of what they've eaten in a restaurant...
yeah.
Shouldn't they also... photograph the shit?
Yeah, well, some people do. There are websites where...
No, but it should be a law.
Yeah.
Like, here's what it looked like. Here's the reality of that.
You occasionally do one that you want to...
smashed avocado on toast. Here's the fucking end result.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No need to apologise.
Congratulations. You had asked me about something completely different.
I know, I think we were talking about Black Mirror episodes, but you've got that's a Black Mirror episode. Okay. That's it there. They're talking to... I think as long as... the thing is, always in sci-fi, the things go wrong, the technology goes wrong, the robots become sentient. As long as that toilet or the sex robot... as long as they don't become sentient, as long as that toilet isn't actually sentient, as long as the sex robot isn't sentient, then it doesn't matter, does it?
So you want the toilet to just be staring at you? Like, expectantly.
It wouldn't be my first choice.
Think about it. That's what a toilet's doing now.
Yeah.
If you imagine a toilet is just a mute robot that can't speak and can't give any kind of review... of what you're... That's what you're shitting into now. Yeah. It's the open end of the throat of a robot.
Yeah.
Because they all look like appliances, don't they?
Yeah.
Why am I talking about toilets so much?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
I remember what you'd ask me. But if everything goes a bit Black Mirror, it's good free publicity.
Yeah.
That people keep saying, oh, the world's all a bit Black Mirror and the news is all a bit Black Mirror. So it's good on that level, but it's also bad on a raw animal panic level when I watch the news and think... Although, weirdly, I have become more optimistic of
really?
Late. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because... What's the alternative? because I think, well, okay, if the cunts keep rolling a six, that can't continue.
They only have to roll six for a couple more years and then the world's fucked anyway. So we need someone to come in to solve the climate crisis.
But we will die.
Yeah, no, it's fine for us.
No. We should die.
Yeah.
And then other people will take it over and it'll sort of be better. I'm saying it will be better when we die.
Yeah. Not for them, though, because they'll have to clear up.
No. I'm saying we should die soon.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I reckon we should all die in the next 5 years.
Okay. And our kids or the kids...
No. I'm talking about people of 43 and above.
Sort of Logan's run, slightly older Logan's run.
If we all killed ourselves, it'd probably sort it out, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't read the room.
There aren't many people under 43 in here. Hold on.
Surely that would improve things, wouldn't it?
It seems a bit much.
Saying that because you're in that demographic.
If I hadn't had kids, it wouldn't matter, would it? Because I wouldn't be invested in the world. But now I've got to worry about my kids having to survive.
Film some videos where you give them advice.
Okay. Good. Well, look. There was lots of things I want to talk to you about.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Why did we end up talking about toilets? It's been a lot of fun. How was it going to the Emmys? Did you enjoy going to the Emmys and winning all your Emmys? What's it like being in amongst all those big celebrities? I'm kind of fascinated by that element of... You went, right? You went and...
I went and it's a bit weird because, like, it was... now been several times, so I could, like, so other people in our team who was going, I could tell them what was going to happen, like I was an old hand at the Emmys. So the first thing was that the Americans take all of that sort of thing way more, it's way more sort of fundamentally viscerally important over all those award ceremonies seem to be than they are over here. I mean, I guess they're important over here, but not in the way that maybe that's because it's a whole city that's what it sort of thrives on. In a way, I didn't quite appreciate the first time I went. I do remember the first time I went, it was a big surprise that we won, and I genuinely sort of hadn't thought of anything to say because there was a website that tells you the odds.
Yeah.
Because, that's how seriously they take... There's websites where people calculate the odds that you'll win, and it was like, you're not going to win for this. So I sort of thought it would be an act of hubris to think of anything to say. You'd feel like a bit of a prick.
Yeah.
And then they said my name, and I went, huh! And I felt a weird sensation that was both, like, sort of delight, because you've flown all this way and they've just said you've won, and also, like, fear of having to get up. And I sort of walked up and stood on the stage and looked out, and I remember I sort of stared out and locked eyes with Oprah Winfrey. And thought, that's too weird. So I sort of looked, and there was, like, Nicole Kidman. And I thought, that's a bit, like... And so I looked. Then I looked up, and there was a big sort of, like, a screen at the back that was going 32, 31,
oh, right.
30, 29. And so I sort of blurted a load of stuff out, and then afterwards, so they give you these awards. This is the most first-world problem I've ever had in my life. We won two... award. The first time I went there, we won two Emmys, and you're literally holding them, and they're quite heavy, which is a pain in the ass. And you walk out of the ceremony, and you go to this governor's ball, which is way more glamorous than anything I've ever been to. There's in the middle, there's a sort of raised sort of platform with people playing the saxophone and dancing, like, really well, and everyone's fucking good looking, like, on this. And it's a massive thing. It's full of celebrities. And I walked in, and you're holding these Emmys, and you're walking along the street for one little bit, and there's people screaming, like, I love your show! What is it? Like that. Congratulations! It's a bit like you're walking out of there with that severed head of a... Like you're a barbarian walking along the street, the severed head of... And then I'm holding an Emmy in each hand, and we go into the governor's ball. And I was like, and I hadn't had a drink or anything in 4 hours because you're sitting in this ceremony. I was like, I'm dying for a drink. And there were these people there with trays of champagne glasses. And I walk in with an Emmy in each hand, and they're holding this, and they're like champagne. And I couldn't pick it up. Just my fucking luck. Typical. This is the sort of thing that always happens to me. It's nice. And it's just sort of, it is a bit weird. It is a bit like a weird, a nice version of a car crash where you're not expecting this nice thing that happens and everyone's nice to you. But then we'd sort of, because when we're making the show, we were based in, like the last season, we were based in Ealing Studios.
Right.
And because we're working on it most of the time, myself and Annabelle, who's the co-showrunner, we don't really go out very often. So it's a bit like you're this sort of shut-in who sits in all the time. And then you go out there and suddenly it's like everyone's really nice and sort of quite obsequious in a sort of way that is guiltily quite nice. And then you fly home and it's like, oh, God. Sit in my room typing again. And you go straight back to the thing of thinking, this is shit, what I'm writing now is shit, this is fucking shit.
Yeah.
So...
Well, my life's very like that, it's just only the last bit.
Don't get me wrong, like, the Emmy bit is good.
Yeah, yeah.
It is good, but it is sort of also... It's sort of meaningless, isn't it? All of that stuff is quite meaningless. Like, it's... Although, having said that, it is... Like, if you go to an award ceremony, it's not... If you win something, it's not... It's sort of... You go, oh, I didn't waste the evening.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then you can sort of put it on a shelf and go... It's a thing I did. Yeah. I've got some...
So, look, we're going to have to wrap up, but...
Sorry, that was like, I've managed to make it... Look, listen to me whining.
It's good. It's good.
About...
Are you going to do any more of your end-of-year wipes again? Because we want those back.
I wouldn't say no.
Oh.
We're not doing one this year.
Boo.
But...
Whoa. We're doing two this year.
We are doing something this year. I don't know if I'm allowed to say...
Okay. They say you are allowed to say. This isn't going out till next year anyway.
We may be doing a little thing with Diane Morgan, Philomena Kunk. For the end of the
good.
I think I'm allowed to hint at that.
Okay, it was good. Well, it was a bit more than a hint.
I was in a writer's room this afternoon.
Yes.
For a thing we're doing with Diana.
That's terrific news. Next week, your wife is going to be my guest.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I should ask her about or anything? I'm just trying to do some early research. Anything I shouldn't ask her about?
Oh, God, there's probably many things. what should you ask her next week? And is this something that you then, like, pull out of an envelope?
Go.
Is it like Mr. and Mrs.? Is this a fucking format book? That's a contemporary reference.
It is. It's back.
That's a Zamo. That's a phrase we use in the writers' room. It's a Zamo when, like, anyone under the age of 41 doesn't know what the fuck you're on about. What should you or shouldn't you ask her about? Is this relating to me or just generally life in general?
Any good line of inquiry that will get things going.
Don't ever ask her what my... terrible relationship with best before dates on food is.
Okay.
Because it's a constant source of, I would say, quite bitter arguments in our house. That she's right about and I'm wrong about.
Well, which way did she...
I take against things. I'm like, as I said, I've got a vomity phobia.
Yeah,
and so I will take against things like that I just think are vaguely, like a month within their sell-by date.
Right.
I'm like, cast it out. Whereas she, she will regularly lay a guilt trip on me. She'll sort of say, when I was doing Blue Peter, I went to like Mozambique and there were people who were sucking the ink out of a biro for sustenance. So you are going to eat this hummus. She is very, she can't. Cannot bear any kind of waste, anything like that. Whereas I'm like, I'll throw anything in the bin. I'm like, all my any kind of ethics about that go out the window as soon as a bit of hummus looks a bit sweaty. I'm not having that, and I'm not having it near my kids. I get all sort of like that about it, a bit all like angry gammony man about a pot of hummus near my kids, like it's a fucking paedophile. It's gonna harm them from within. It's not going near my kids. I'll hang. I swear I'll do time if the hummus goes near my fucking kids. I'll break its arm.
I'm on your wife's side. My wife's on your side. So there we go.
So what? You'll eat anything?
I'll eat way past the sell-by date. I've only been sick about twice.
Once we had an argument and I said to her, and this was, I said, it's like you'd eat out of a bin. And she regularly brings that up as a thing, which was indefensible, I said. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm very much looking forward to see, I haven't seen her for a while. She was
at Bing as well.
Was she?
Hmm? She was at Bing, yeah, and we weren't pointing Bing, you out from there. We were there with our kids. We were pointing you out.
Oh, you should have come and said hello.
I know, but we were in the middle of Bing. The fuck it. What were we meant to do? And then we hovered around a bit afterwards.
I was hovering around. There was lots of places to hover. Who was I hanging around? There was someone else there. I can't remember. I was hanging out with one of the guys from JLS, I think.
These are the... This is the... It's the light. This is the air we breathe. Fuck you. Where was it? It was like, where was it?
Milton Keynes.
It was Milton Keynes. Bing Live, Milton Keynes, yeah, JLS. You dream of that. You're not going to get it.
Well, look, you could come back in before 7.5 years are up. We've been, it'd been lovely to have you back.
The fucking planet's fucked.
Well, yeah, we'll be fine. We're recording you, we'll be dead.
I'm keeping it light, aren't I?
It's fine. It's fine. It's been fantastic to have you back on, Charlie, and I look forward to seeing you at Bing at some point. You're going to the, there's a film of Bing coming out. Have you been invited to the premiere of that?
Is there?
Not get invited. I've been invited. I can't go. I'm sending
my
mum.
I met the bloke who draws drew the and he drew a little Bing. For,
yeah,
I've got that. Have you got that?
No, they sent me some free Bing toys though.
So. I didn't get any.
They love
me.
Is
the bloke from JLS going to this film? Why don't I get to go and see Bing the movie?
Yeah.
Are they showing it on the...
I think it's in London, properly in London, everything.
When's that?
I can't go because I'm doing a gig. So it must be, I think it's...
Can I have your...
I've said my mother... I said, can my mother, my wife go with my mother-in-law and her parents?
No,
they said two adults. So you could go with my wife, but then you'd bond over the whole sell-by dates thing. As I've got in with Connie for next week.
I've literally seen Connie eat fish that was sort of green. Genuinely, she would eat fish that was green.
Okay.
Just because she's seen people suffering. I'm quite gutted about Bing the movie.
Okay, I'll...
Mark Rylance is in Bing.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's going to be fucking...
Fully this.
That's what I'm hoping for.
That'll be a good episode of Bing. Bing discovers what Flop was up to.
Oh, it'd be lovely to sit here all night and just wait till everyone drifted out one by one to get there.
That can't happen.
But I've got to drive back to Hertfordshire, where I live. So Milton Keynes is very handy for me. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Brooker, legend. You have been listening to Rahalastaba with me, Richard Terring, and my guest, Charlie Brooker. Thank you to Pest, who provide the music for this show. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, to Chris Evans, not that one, or that one, or that one. Thank you also to Kathleen McKeegan. I'm sure her website helped me a lot during this podcast, rahalastaba.com. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. I'm indebted to my executive producer, Oliver Davis. We called him Dolliver Avis on set. We basically just sort of changed the first syllables of their names around. That's our new trick. This is a Fuss, Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato production. Go and see me live at Rahalastaba. Go to richtang.com/gigs and you can find out if I'm coming to a place near you. Buy tickets. It's good.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.